Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And you're
Winter
Culture.
What's a timberman want with being a wiki?
Just looking to earn a living, just like any man. Starting new.
On the run. Keeping secrets, are you?
No, sir.
Watch you spill your beans. Just spill your beans. Rock. 5 weeks? 2 days? Help me to recollect.
Hey guys, welcome to A New Winter, Cults and Culture. And on today's episode, we're going to be discussing the 2019 film by Robert Eggers called The Lighthouse. In case you guys didn't know, Robert Eggers did The Witch, which was one of my favourite films from the last decade. And to be honest, after seeing this film, this would, I don't know if it'd make top 10, but it would definitely be very high. So I'm going to give just a brief review of it to begin with. Then I'll go into a little bit about explaining it and the ending and kind of a little bit more on what went on behind it. So for those that don't know, it stars Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe. And they are basically working in a lighthouse on an island, obviously a little rocky island. And they have to stay there for, I think it's 4 weeks, and maintain the lighthouse itself. So that seems fair enough. When they get there, Robert Pattinson is in charge of basically all like the dog's body work, shoveling coal, cleaning stuff, and all this, whilst Willem Dafoe kind of just basically looks after the light. As time goes on, we start seeing that Willem Dafoe is a little bit obsessed with the light. He's like naked up there. He's getting something from it, obviously. And Robert Pattinson is kind of having a bit of trouble doing the actual work around the actual lighthouse. So tensions start brewing. And Robert Pattinson's kind of having these visions and all this stuff, weird stuff starts going on. And basically it becomes like a pressure cooker between the two characters as they laugh and love and hate between the two. And it all kind of culminates into a variety of different showdowns. I mean, the director himself said that there's very little in the way of plot. It's essentially the same scenes again and again, but a bit different. And that's kind of true, because it's all about really ranking up that tension until the final scene. So in a nutshell, that's what it's about. It's filmed in, I think it's 1:19 to 1 aspect ratio, so almost square. The reason for it is essentially because not only is it to give it, and it's in black and white, it's not only to give it this kind of old school kind of look, but also because it's to do with a lighthouse. So it's more about length than width, if that makes sense. And I believe it was filmed on like some old lenses, old film stock, and it definitely feels like it's a film from really the silent era. People said it's a bit German expressionism. Yeah, you can see like there's a bit of Fritz Lang and all that stuff in there. I think the director himself said that, you know, there's a bit of Fritz Lang in there, but he's not necessarily done that on purpose. It's kind of black and white just to give it a sense of the past. And also I think it's probably a tonal thing. And yeah, again, as I said, putting in a lighthouse, and it's more about, it's less about having it like widescreen, basically. It's more about the length. That's what she said. And that's actually appropriate to this, to this film. Essentially, really, it's a, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens. It combines myths and ideas, and it's very dreamlike. You wonder who is crazy. You've got an unreliable narrator. It can be a bit scary at points, but not really. It's more the horror of being stuck there with someone, and you know, who's going mad, who and who. Very well shot. Very Bergman as well. It's, some of the shots just look incredible, like they're pictures, literally. The cinematography is just amazing. Some of the stuff just sticks in my brain, and it's very much, you can tell like it's been meticulously planned, and the pacing is really good. The sound is amazing. You'll hear a lot of just generally, so there's this kind of like, I don't even know really what it is. It's like kind of like alarm thing that goes off every now and then. That's annoying, and that's like right at the beginning, but it tends to be other sounds start piling up on it as the film goes through, which is kind of the point. So soon it becomes obviously like the waves crashing and all this, and the wind howling, and then you start getting these weird like whale sounds, like underwater kind of sounds that are in the background, and it's all these like layers of different sounds as it mounts up the pressure. The lighting is obviously great. The black and white thing just works so well. Production design is brilliant. A bit like The Witch, the dialogue is old ye kind of talk. I was reading an interview, and because I was listening to it, I was like, I don't really understand what dialect this is, but apparently they worked really hard to get it accurate. So sometimes it sounds American, sometimes it sounds Irish, especially Robert Pattinson's character. And that's on purpose, because basically they did a lot of studying on how things were said phonetically by people at sea, and people who were also lumberjacks, which is what Robert Pattinson's character did before he took on this job, and how they would talk. And essentially, it's a little bit like West Country. I don't think it particularly sounds like West Country. I do kind of think it sounds a little bit Irish and American. But apparently that's, you know, that's accurate. So that was interesting. I loved all the weird horror kind of surreal imagery behind it. It's a very sexual movie in a really weird way. There's like homoeroticism in it. You know, but not, it's not necessarily a film about homosexuality or anything like that, but there are elements of, you know, sexual frustration amongst other kind of frustration in there, and the power plays between the two and stuff like that. So yeah, there's many layers, which I'll come on to later in the episode, that are kind of going on. It also, apart from looking and sounding great and having great production design, being really well directed, it's also strangely very entertaining, in the way that which was fairly slow, but dealt with the horror really. There was always this underlying sense of horror. With this, I would probably say I, as much as I did enjoy it, I didn't enjoy it as much as The Witch, because even though the pacing was better and I felt like, even though it's, you know, it's still 2 hours long, but I was kind of always waiting for what's next. And even though the, you know, you're watching someone laboriously, you know, look after an island, like it's not particularly fun to watch, but there's a sense of dread, but not a sense of horror. So where I like The Witch better, I would say, and it's nothing against The Lighthouse, it's just a different film. The Witch, I was watching it with a sense of dread in a horror kind of supernatural sense, and that's something I don't understand. There's an element of this within that, but it's more about the tension between the two characters. And one of its benefits and one of its curses is that it swings from one to the other. So because you're not really sure what's happening and what's real and what's going on, there is a sense of unease, but there's also a sense of unreliability. So you've got nothing you can kind of hold on to and stick with and base your feelings around. So because you're in this sense, this constant state of flux, it doesn't quite have the weight that maybe The Witch has. But again, that's kind of part of the story. So as I said, it's kind of a curse in the sense that that's what you're going for, and that's just the fallout. But also, you know, I like that type of movie. So even though I enjoyed The Witch more, I mean, I would say like The Lighthouse is probably a better made movie. And it's definitely very intriguing. And it feels like a play, really. But The Witch, I would watch it again and again, more so than I would watch The Lighthouse. To watch The Lighthouse again is like reading a very clever book, which is fine, but I sometimes find that harder work. And I don't think Lighthouse is particularly hard work. It's just that for me, it's just a little bit not quite as entertaining as The Witch. And part of that comes from the fact that, The Witch works in the way that it's directed, because it's a slow burn horror thing and the horror is kind of all over everything. Whereas with this, you're kind of just, it's kind of like just a load of hallucinations and things like that, and what's real and what isn't real. But there's no sense of like impending doom or like, you know, something on the verges that's going to like attack, apart from each other. So that's kind of my review. I think it's a really decent film and you should definitely go check it out. And I would recommend watching the film before you actually listen to this podcast. It doesn't really make a difference if you're not, I could say all this stuff and you can go away and watch it and think something completely different. Again, there's not really, as Robert Eggers said, there's a plot, but not really. So you can listen to this episode and go away and watch it a year later. And I'm not really spoiling anything for you that much, because, you can kind of guess where things are going to go and what's happening. And the point is that nothing ever, it seems to be real. So everything you're kind of taking with a pinch of salt. So let's get down to it. So from here on end, there's going to be spoilers. So I'm going to talk about the kind of superficial plot, you know, what you see, basically. And then I'll kind of go into it a little bit on what that might mean. So it takes place in what I believe is the late 19th century. And we have, I think it's Ephraim Winslow, so Winslow, I'm going to call him from here on out, which is Robert Pattinson. And he is turning up and he's got a job as a Wiki, which always made me laugh during the film, because I thought it's like a Wookiee, like Star Wars. He's going to work 4 weeks on this lighthouse in New England with this guy called Thomas Wake. So Winslow is Pattinson, Wake is Defoe, as I'm going to go on from here. And then basically, as soon as they get there, he's kind of walking around and it gives you a lay of the land a little bit. And it's literally just like a lighthouse, which was purpose built, by the way, for this film. And then like a couple of smaller buildings, it looks like. And I think that's this where the siren sound is coming from, this big horn kind of coming outside. So I guess like if it's fog or whatever, if it's really bad, ships can hear the lighthouse, I guess. And as he's walking around Winslow, he sits on his bed. He notices a hole, and in the hole is this mermaid statue thing. And he's like, oh, right, hello. And so first off, the fact that he's got this little hole, at first I was like, oh, God, is it like so you can fuck the mattress? And maybe it is still. But yeah, it's like, oh, okay, he finds this like mermaid. He's like, oh, yeah, this is nice. And apparently I read somewhere that he has a black eye in this. I didn't notice it, but as in there might have been some altercation between the two on the boat coming over. Maybe, or maybe this is what happened from the past history we're about to find out by the end of the film. This is the remnants of that, maybe, or maybe he's just a troublemaker. But I didn't notice a black eye, but apparently. So, yeah, told that they're going to work there for 4 weeks. And we're told that Winslow's going to be doing all, yeah, as I said, all the dog's body work. And William Dafoe is basically going to look after the light. And so anyway, immediately we pretty much see William Dafoe's character up there in the light, naked. So we've kind of got this sexual thing going on already. And yeah, so, I mean, if you think about it, the lighthouse itself is a phallic symbol. Later on, they refer to it as she as well. And obviously, you know, like a cock, like an erect penis, the end is like the sensitive bit, right? That's where all the action, that's where it all happens, right? It all builds up, doesn't it? To like, you know, to shoot out its sperm. But that feels like that's where the release of pent up frustration is, would be at the end of the penis. So in this point, it's the top of the lighthouse. Again, I'm kind of bringing in my own ideas into this, so, you know, take it as you will. Anyway, I'll go into that properly later. So anyway, Winslow, he's basically, as he's kind of looking around, there's certain different things that happen. So he's like, he's fixing a roof, and then he looks down and he sees, I guess it's William Dafoe, like fucking the bed or something like that. And he's got his ass out. So it's kind of like, oh, he's kind of getting like a voyeuristic thrill out of it. So immediately there's a bit like, okay, that's a bit weird. But maybe it's just the fact that he's, you know, just kind of watching what he's doing. But there's a bit of a voyeuristic nature to this, which was, you know, interesting. And yeah, so as he's kind of pushing the coal about, we see a seagull with its eye missing, standing in the way of this house. And anyway, he tries to like shoo it away. And there's always this thing where they're kind of always like watching each other. So as he's trying to do it, he looks up and like staring up from the top of the lighthouse is William Dafoe. And yeah, you just see him like that shot is held. So it makes it feel like awkward. So there's this idea that, you know, Pattinson's being judged from like the lookout tower, basically. And he's getting a bit annoyed by doing all this work, but William Dafoe keeps having a go at him that he's doing the jobs wrong. He's not doing them well enough. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's getting like really super annoyed about it. And Robert Pattinson is like, look, dude, I'm trying. Like, stop it. They eat together in the evenings. William Dafoe puts on a meal and he tries to get him, there's booze around and he tries to get him to drink. And Robert Pattinson's like, no, thank you. First thing that my head jumped to was that it's like, there's an element here, maybe he's an alcoholic. And you could say that the whole film is an allegory for alcoholism as well, by the way. But could say that he's an alcoholic, but he's like, turns it down, tries to get some of the water, but that's not clean. And so, yeah, so they have a bit of a laugh about it. But they do, William Dafoe has this little like chant, you know what I mean, whatever, prayer or something before they eat, and they cheers it and all this. So yeah, William Dafoe's basically trying to get him to drink. And he says at one point, like, this is why like sailors drink all the time, because when they're at sea, you don't want them going mad. You don't want them going crazy. You don't want them to feel like they're having too much time on their hands. So the best way to do it is to drink through it. As if that kind of staves off the madness. But as we see, that's not necessarily the case. It might be fuel for the fire, or maybe for William Dafoe it works. I don't know. But again, there's this kind of like interplay between the two. You feel like they're not really particularly getting on, and it's just the two of them. But, you know, the first 2 weeks seem to happen like quite quickly. Robert Pattinson is kind of like wanting to go up into the light. There's one bit where he goes up and he sees William Dafoe's like standing above him. He can't quite see properly. And then he steps back and basically, well, I presumed it was semen, cum basically drips down. And then he looks back up and then it's all like tentacles. And then you're like, what the hell is happening? So, and then there's all these like jump cuts. So then it will go back to like something normal. So you're like, wait, did that just actually happen? Or did it not? But there's definitely like this weird sexual thing to do with the light that's coming from the lighthouse itself. And also you start questioning what's real. Like Robert Pattinson, he starts masturbating over the little statue of the mermaid. And then mermaids, he has like the first kind of real dream sequence when it's dark and the light's on. He goes out for a walk and he sees all these logs start appear. I didn't know what they were at first. And then there's like someone drowning in them. And then he kind of like he's like going in and he can't seem to stop himself. And then he's drowning too. And then you see like a mermaid at the bottom. So there's this weird thing that obviously the sea being death, the mermaid being like sex essentially, but there's an element of like sex and death always being like closely linked right throughout time. And the other thing about like mermaids as a creature itself is that you know, even though they've got the top half of a woman or whatever, and it's all very sexy usually, they're you know, you don't see any like genitalia bits. Like there's, so for me, I was thinking it's kind of like the epitome for like sexual frustration as well. Because, you know, you can't have sex with it. It's just looking only. That kind of gets put to one side later on. But they, you know, mermaids kind of represent seduction, danger, and also they're like known for like luring sailors into the sea, right? There's that kind of works in a bit later as well. They're, again, to do with like the homoeroticism surrounding it. And it's almost as if, because he's kind of getting, by the end of it, he's getting his fantasies with the mermaids and the mermaid statue mixed up with the murder of this guy. If it is a murder, he says it's an accident, but we presume it's actually a murder. And almost like, he's getting a sexual kick out of it, or it's like the sea trying to lure him in. It's all quite interesting. It's all very, very, very closely linked. And there's not, you know, mermaids can also like represent magic as well. And there's a sense of magic to the lighthouse and the light itself. I was reading somewhere about how maybe it's like a gateway to another world or something like that. All that stuff is fairly interesting. So, but yeah, at this point, things are starting off quite slowly. You're starting to realize that maybe Pattinson is having some mental issues. There's all these kind of hallucinations or whatever like coming up. So anyway, we find out that, William Dafoe says like, I saw you and that seagull, you know, best to leave it alone, he says. You know, killing a seagull is bad luck or whatever. So two things from this. You find out later why he might want that particular seagull to be left alone as well, which we'll find out. And secondly, this kind of like bad omen thing plays a part later. So he's kind of warned him and the audience, like, just don't touch the seagull, basically. There's one, they have a bit later where they're painting a lighthouse, literally whitewashing it, and he falls, Robert Pattinson falls and hurts himself, and the seagull is pecking away at his knee. It doesn't seem to shoo. It's pecking away, and it's like, you know, get off. And it flies away. But the seagull keeps turning up. It was knocking at the window at one point, and then he went off and had a wank. So yeah, this seagull with one eye is just like everywhere. And he's, and yeah, so Willem Dafoe's like, yeah, leave the seagulls alone. It's the souls of dead sailors and all this. Okay, cool. So now we've got this kind of like, you know, supernatural element kind of associated with these seagulls. So later on, he goes to get something to drink, and he sees that, I think they're about 2 weeks in now, maybe this at this point, and there's loads of dead seagulls, like in the thing where they get their drinking water from. So he's like, what the fuck? And anyway, above it comes the one-eyed seagull, right? And it's like, it kind of attacks him a little bit. So he grabs it and he fucking smashes the shit out of the seagull. Literally, like, this scene, I was like, fucking hell, like, it's crazy. So he's released all this anger, all this frustration on the seagull. And then we do a nice sweeping shot where it gets to the top. We go sideways to the tower and then all the way up. So it doesn't go, like, diagonally. It goes across and then up, which is a cool shot. And it also, like, represents, like the length, the power almost of... as if like that soul has come across and now it's being risen up to the sky via the lighthouse to the top. And the wind starts to change and it's like, shing, it goes automatically to the north and it stays there. They're like, oh, there's a storm coming. It's a big storm. And they're talking about how they've only got like a day left or whatever. They're getting picked up in the morning. So let's batter up the, you know, things. Let's hold out and we'll wait and we'll get off this island. So... So they get drunk, basically. And this is where, like, you start seeing them having fun, basically, with each other and being a bit more looser. And, yeah, there's, like, times, like, where, I mean, for me, the different scenes of them getting drunk together have kind of mixed into one a little bit. But you feel like they're getting on a bit more now. You know, it's their last night, whatever, this big hurrah. And then the next morning, you know, I wasn't sure, I'm still not sure if it's they've missed it because they were hungover, they've missed the boat that's supposed to pick them up, or if it never came because of the storm. But either way, it feels that they're basically stranded. And he's like, oh, we're going to have to, like, you know, see out this storm. And then later on, the guy, William Dafoe's like, oh, the rations, the food's tainted or something. So we've got to start rationing. And they find more booze, for instance, at one point. And so they're like, okay. So now this is where things start going a bit topsy-turvy. I should also mention around this point, this is when Robert Pattinson, covered in shit, basically throwing out the shit pot, and it kind of blows back in his face a little bit. But yeah, he comes across a body that's kind of washed up, and then we realise, like, it's a mermaid, and it starts, like, laughing. So... again, it's weird. There's maybe this fear of women, or fear of woman, happening here. And, you know, the idea that it's like, you know, men's greatest fear being belittled by women or whatever. It might be an element of that going on. It's also a little bit scary because obviously he's been masturbating over a picture of a bloody statue of a mermaid, and now that one's here, and it's like it's taunting him even further. So that frustration and that sexual frustration as well is kind of building up. So the storm gets worse and worse. The two men are starting to get kind of like closer and closer. Winslow is getting a bit more obsessed with the lighthouse. He tries to steal the key off Wake, and even has a knife, and it looks like he's going to kill him for it. But Wake turns up, Wake wakes up, and he's like, you know, I'll go back, and he like farts as well. And the idea with the farting is that, you know, Robert Eggers was saying that it's to kind of like relieve the tension, literally. But also I think it's a way of, it's a meaning of disrespect as well, that, you know, think so little that he's just farting and all this stuff everywhere. It just shows how little he thinks of, like, our pats. So then we have this kind of sequence where he is, Robert Pattinson's, I've got to get this straight in my head as well, he's masturbating over the mermaid thing, he's also getting flashbacks of this guy being killed, who, you know, we find a bit more about, more out about later. But also it's getting mixed up with him pulling this lobster trap up and finding a head in there. Importantly, the head has only got one eye. So I guess we're to assume that the seagull is the person whose his head belongs to, who we later find out is the previous Wick, the second in command, that Willem Dafoe told us has gone mad, basically went mad and, well, died. And hence Robert Pattinson being asked to come in. So there's a little bit of ambiguity there about like how he died, but the fact that it's like, they're like, oh, you know, this has happened before, basically. I thought that was quite interesting. And yeah, the eye thing was interesting as well. They get drunk together again, and Winslow tells Wake that actually that's not his name. His name is Thomas Howard, and he basically took on the identity of Winslow when he was chopping down trees or whatever in the forest up north. And it sounds, he was like, oh, I didn't kill him or whatever, but it sounds as if he did, or he let him die at the very least, and didn't do anything, and decided to take on his identity and start with a clean slate. Now, I can't remember if it's here, if it's earlier, but they have an argument about the cooking. And Robert Pattinson is like, I've had a steak, I'd fuck a steak. And William Dafoe's like, well, what's wrong with my cooking? He's like, eh, you know, whatever. And it's the same shit every time, whatever. William Dafoe gives this like harsh, like curse monologue to Pattinson. Basically saying that you're going to be one with the sea, essentially, but through this horrible means possible. It's going to be like you're going to be bloated, your insides are going to be spilling out, and the souls of other sailors will be feasting on your flesh and all this stuff. And then there's a bit, ends with a bit of humor. It's like, okay, I like your cooking, whatever. And I quite enjoyed that levity, that tonal difference, which is obviously there on purpose, not to make it too serious and too art house. It's still like trying to generate some kind of appeal, but still be taken seriously. And yeah, so I think this happens around here, but it does happen. So.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyway, when he tells him about, starts telling him about taking on this identity of this guy, William Dafoe's like, I don't want to know. Like, don't tell me, don't spill your beans. Like, I don't want to know about it. And there's also like around this time, they like are dancing and they almost kiss. And then it turns into like a proper fight. Again, sex and violence kind of mixed in together a little bit there, and frustrations. But that was quite interesting. And yeah, so there's a bit where during this bit where it's like you hear a voice of William Dafoe going, I told you, don't spill your beans. It seems to be coming from the top of the lighthouse. And anyway, he goes up, and when he gets to the top, there's someone, and I think his legs are bound. There's an element where it's like, okay, I remember thinking, oh, is this the guy that he's killed? And also, like, the legs being bound together reminds me of a mermaid. So that might be also the reason why the image of a mermaid is getting mixed into, like, the death of this guy. But still, so anyway, Robert Pattinson, like, turns him around, and it's himself. So I guess there's that thing of, like, identity, like, who's who. He's, you know, he's Winslow, but he's also himself. And then, anyway, someone puts a hand on his shoulder, and it's William Dafoe, naked, and then stares down, and he stares this, like, light into his eyes. So this was one of the most impactful, but also confusing bits, because I was like, well, what's really happening here? William Dafoe has a tattoo of a ship on his chest. Is this, like, the god of the sea? And I'll come on to that a bit later. Basically, like, almost like a god itself, kind of putting judgment into our Pats and kind of showing him the truth, as it were, if that makes sense. Is it, you know, he's kind of seducing him into, like, is it the sea trying to seduce him, trying to bring him in, mesmerize him a little bit? Is he giving him a little taste of what's in that light? And, you know, the fact that he's naked makes me think, you know, there's obviously this sexual thing again that's going on here. Is he trying to seduce him, literally, physically? So that whole thing's interesting. But then we kind of cut, and our Pats is running to I should sort of say that Winslow is running to get the little boat out, and and then William Dafoe comes up with an axe and starts trying to chop it up, and then Winslow runs off, and Wake starts chasing him, and they get back in, and Wake, like, puts an axe into the table, and then he's like, you're mad, you just chased me with an axe. And it's like, okay, because we just saw you chase him with an axe. So again, we're like, well, who are we believing here? We're presented with the image of William Dafoe chasing Robert Pattinson with the axe, but then we're told it's different. So there's an element here of, like, gaslighting, which is a very modern term, I feel like, these days, but essentially where, you know, he's trying to talk to him like he's the one going crazy, when the reality is quite different. And then he basically goes to town a little bit on him, and he's like, you know, you're mad, you're crazy, give me your knife, we're going to get rid of that. You know, how long have we been here? Has it been weeks? Is it days? Like, you tell me. And he's like pushing him. So it's, the whole thing's quite surreal now by this point. So now they find that they've basically drunk all the booze. They start mixing, I think it's like the fuel for the lamp, with what I deem to be honey, and they start drinking that and getting drunk, which is obviously not good, I imagine, for you. It seems to be that Robert Pattinson is now a full-blown alcoholic, like, they're drinking all the time now. And he smashes the mermaid at one point. This might have come earlier. I do apologise. It's all kind of a bit mashed up in my brain. He tries, like, stabbing it. I think this was before, because it got the knife taken. And again, I think that was an act of penetration and almost impotence, because he can't penetrate it because it's made of clay, like, literally. But also the idea that he literally can't have sex with it either, can he? Sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent, just something I thought was happening around here, but I think it was earlier. So they get drunk again, and it goes from the classic thing which seems to be happening, which is that they love each other, they hate each other, and in-betweens, and, you know, they do, like, some dancing, and our Pats is talking about how William Dafoe, you know, was never a captain, he's not on the sea, and, you know, he's nothing, he's a nobody, and all this. They seem to jump from one to the other, which is all quite interesting. And then, basically the storm gets worse, it crashes through the building and everything's basically fucked. So as Winslow, I'm still calling him, is walking around, I should say that his name is Tommy and William Dafoe's character is Thomas. So they've got the same first name, which is important for later. But as he's going around, he finds the book that the guy's writing in that, you know, gets sent back. And basically in it, we find out he's putting Winslow down in terms of saying that he shouldn't be paid. He should be fired. He didn't do his work well enough. He was drinking on the job. He was angry, violent and all this stuff. And yeah, Winslow's like, what the fuck, man? Like, seriously, gets really fucking annoyed. And now we're kind of like, this is where it starts like kicking off properly. And he's like, look, I just want to, he's like, look, forget about everything. Like, forgive and forget. I just want to go up to the top of the lighthouse. Like, that's it. Like, just let me do that. And it'll be fine. So instead, Wake kicks off and he's like, no, basically. And so, yeah, so he gets attacked by Winslow now, Howard, or whatever we want to call him. And as he's on top of him, we're getting visions of him fucking a mermaid. And this mermaid has like a massive vagina now, and he's having sex with it. And then also, I think we're still getting flashes of the murder. So again, that's all getting mixed in. And then William Dafoe, he starts killing William Dafoe and he's like punching him and stuff. But during this time, he's getting visions of that being the mermaid. And then William Dafoe as like this kind of god of the sea with like tentacles and stuff and laughing and whatever, like this monstrous kind of being. Winslow just punches the shit out of him until I think he says something like, you're kidding me or something like that. And then Winslow gets off and looks down and he's basically like, woof, forever. It's like, I want you to bark. And basically makes Wake the a dog, literally makes him act like a dog. And starts calling him a dog and like, you know, basically now the power's in his court. He puts a lead around him, takes him outside, gets him in where they found the booze, tells him to get in there, and then starts like shoveling the mud back onto him to bury him alive. Meanwhile, like Wake is saying words. I couldn't quite make out what he was saying, but chanting some other words. And yeah, so he kind of tries to bury him alive anyway. And he takes the keys and goes up to he starts to go up to the lantern room. But then, yeah, Wake appears from behind him and stabs him in the shoulder with this pickaxe or whatever it is. Winslow kind of fights him off, gets the axe and goes through the head of Wake. So Wake is now dead on the floor with a pickaxe or an axe or whatever through his head. So yeah, slowly we see Winslow now go up to the top of the lighthouse, and the lighthouse by its own accord, again, we're not sure what's real, what's not real, stops spinning, a little door opens, and then Winslow basically starts getting like some pleasure from it. Starts like laughing, like orgasmic kind of thing. And then the sound kind of distorts. It gets turned up like way up, so where it's just like this raspy noise. And it's almost like he's screaming now. And also like the negative changes. So, when you do like that, I don't know what they call it, like reverse negative effect. That starts creeping in. So now we're kind of going weird. Like light is being reversed or sucked out. Like maybe something's changing. We don't see what's in the light. We just see Winslow's like reaction to it. It's quite long. And it reminds me of the end of The Witch as well, when it's like you're seeing the point of view from Black Phillip, like the devil, at the end. And then it's like dunk, 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 dunk. And we see him like fall down the stairs. down this spiral staircase, which is quite cool. And then next shot is him lying there. His eyes have seemingly been pecked out or something. And these birds are feasting on the inside of his flesh whilst he's still alive. And that is the final shot of the lighthouse. So it's interesting. What does it all mean? So a lot of historical accuracy kind of went into all this. Same as with The Witch. Robert Eggers is very good at that. And I think he's been very vocal about the fact that Robert Pattinson's character is supposed to be Prometheus. And whilst as William Dafoe's character is supposed to be, I think it's Proteus. So Prometheus, if you don't know, basically got the knowledge of the gods and gave it to humans, including violence as well, I believe, is what one of it was. And his punishment was to have a bird, I think it is, peck out his liver every day, and every night it grows back ready to be done again. So there's this element of time, basically, and how it's circular. And you can see that with the shot before where he's falling down the staircase, and he's falling backwards. So it's like he is reversing time, because it's like this loop. Yeah, tumbling down. And so I'm not sure, like, there was part of me which is just like, is this Robert Pattinson's character, is this Winslow, going through the whole thing again in his head. And this has all just been as he's been laying there being pecked apart in his own personal hell, which this could be. Is it that Tommy, as his, we find out his real name is, and Thomas, William Dafoe's character, are they the same person? So essentially there's the old version, the young version, and they're just in this kind of loop, like forever. And he's in like his own personal hell again. And it's almost like he falls down and maybe breaks his leg or something, and he comes back as the old one, and then he goes through the whole thing again, maybe. So there's this idea of like time looping on itself. Again, the fact that a lighthouse light kind of goes round, it's stuck, you know, on this loop. And so when it stops at the end, it's almost like time stopping for this moment before it starts up again. Don't know. There's also, yeah, so then... So the Promethean kind of thing, and that end shot is very, very much, yeah, the Prometheus kind of mythology kind of coming through. There's, what is it, Titan or something, Titeon, but yeah, like Proteus as well, basically, who the old man is, who's the old god of the sea, who's like literally that, like a wise old man of the sea, another god in mythology. Apparently that's supposed to be kind of him. As in William Dafoe's character. And there's an element here again where you're not sure if he has killed his second in command. It's a bit iffy, isn't it, that the guy apparently went mad and he died. We don't really know how. And then his head gets washed up, if we're supposed to believe that's real. Even though it happens during a fantasy sequence, so it would infer that maybe it's not real and that head never existed. And again, we're supposed to be constantly questioning ourselves and the reality and who we're siding with as well. So that's, you know, it's just done for a reason. But yeah, so we're not sure if William Dafoe is even a threat or not. There is a bit of power play going on. The fact that he's like the old dog that feels like, you know, the sea is a woman, the lighthouse is a woman, and there's this big erect dick like sitting there, and he wants to be, you know, the power at the top of it, you know, kind of bathing in its like sunlight and its attention and all this. It's definitely that. Whereas, you know, the younger, better looking, keeps going on about how pretty this kid is, seeing how pretty Robert Pattinson is, which is obviously like a homoerotic undertone in that as well. like, you know, what's he doing here? Like, good looking kid like you kind of thing. He doesn't want to be usurped by this younger person. So he keeps putting him down. And so there's this, you know, old versus young thing going on. There's this fight, basically, like a locking of horns between female symbols, and male symbols as well, obviously. But yeah, it's interesting at the top of this phallic thing is the light, which is called a she. Yeah, like, what is the light? Yeah, in a literal sense, people have said that it could be like, yeah, a gateway to another world. Obviously, for me, it represents more of a symbol. Maybe it's the truth of what it is. Maybe it's the reality of it all. Maybe it's nothing, which is why it's like it goes from pleasure to, you know, horror almost. It becomes like too much. Maybe it's the judgment of the gods. Maybe this is purgatory, and it's kind of, you know, when people say, you know, search for the light, you know, go towards the light, and this is his exit or whatever to like the afterlife. But I believe it's that kind of almost that redemption, like that idea of being bathed in the light of God or something like that. If you want to go like religious side of it, where it feels like it might cleanse him, hence like getting naked in front of it or something, maybe like atoning for his sins. I think there's an element of that to it, for sure. Yeah, but also the fact that, you know, when you, whether he's, you know, who is he really? We still don't really know. We don't know whether he has gone mad. We have the flashes of his past with this, guy who's died, and you know, good looking young guy as well. It makes me think, is there like a homosexual thing happening there that ended badly? You know, maybe they don't really discuss this openly or anything like that. The fact that he's here masturbating over this woman, but he's thinking of a man. Or he's thinking of a, you know, essentially a woman's body thing of a fish. There's no, you know, there's nothing to actually have sex with as far as we know, apart from this like gaping vagina that seems to appear in one shot near the end. But also like the old god of the sea, William Dafoe's character, has cursed Winslow by saying that, yeah, he's going to have his insides pecked out by old souls of these sailors, which is exactly what happens at the end. So the curse has worked. And it's interesting, the seagull thing, because the seagulls are kind of everywhere all the time. And that's why there's an element where this is like almost like an ethereal space where this is some kind of purgatory or something here. Now, looking back at what happened, I was wondering, is the seagull actually trying to help, like trying to stop him from doing like the chores or like pecking at him or things like that, as if to say, like, you know, this guy's dangerous? Is it that if this is the same Thomas and he kills the seagull, that he's actually in theory killing his second in command, who he felt was annoying him? So if that makes sense. So him... young Robert Pattinson killing, like young Thomas, let's say, if they are the same person, killing the seagull is a reflection or a parallel to William Dafoe's character killing his second in command because he was just annoying him or something like that. That's one way to look at it. And obviously it invokes the storm because it's bad luck. And so maybe William Dafoe knows this because he's lived it all before, because he's been the young version thereof. Do you know what I mean? So there's an element of like, you know, a circular notion of this. Also, the fact that he purposefully tries to get him drunk, especially on the time before they're supposed to leave, writing all this stuff in the book and whatever. There's an element here where he knows he's got the power, but also like he's controlling Robert Pattinson. I mean, they have that big shout out where he's like, if I tell you to rebuild this whole thing, you're going to do it. So it makes me think, is there an element where he's doing this to kill Winslow anyway? Like he kind of I don't know, this is something that he does, just likes killing people or something. You know, he's already got in his head that he's going to drive this guy mad and then kill him and maybe take the money. Don't know, something like that. Maybe. The fact that he's, you know, he digs up the booze is a very important thing here. He says it's to stop getting mad, but obviously it kind of makes things worse and they run out of that after a while. And maybe that's where most of the visions happen and why they both go absolutely insane. It's because they're drinking that petrol or whatever, for the most part. So yeah, there's a lot happening, here underneath the surface. I think the mermaid thing is the seduction of the sea. It could be the seduction of death itself. But again, the whole film is about like a sexual frustration and maybe like dealing with homosexual thoughts and tendencies that he's trying to subdue, potentially. And obviously there's the murder of this guy. And the fact is that we stay on this rock, and we never leave, really. Like the opening shot, like the sea just kind of like comes into existence and then you see the lighthouse. So it's almost as if we've like entered this dream state anyway. It could be that, you know, we're Robert Pattinson, died, and now we're opening ourselves up to like the, you know, the purgatory or something like that, or the hell that is now this lighthouse that he's deemed to kind of ruin eternity to. Or is it just that it's just simple where Winslow's gone mad. He's just gone insane. And that's as simple as it is. I do think there's an element here where, you know, William Dafoe himself says, like, maybe I'm just a figment of imagination. Maybe this all is. And for me, I was like, let's break it down the fourth wall a little bit, because it's almost like the process of writing, isn't it? Like, of course, this is a figment of someone's imagination. Of course, this isn't real. So you are mad. You're almost the audience. Like Robert Pattinson is almost the audience, kind of watching this and reacting to stuff and reacting to the images that are put in front of him. And that's kind of it. I don't think I've got anything else much to say about it or what it might mean. If I was you, I'd look into like some of the mythology behind it. I'm really interested in what other people's ideas are. Again, I was thinking, is it, these are other thoughts I'm just kind of going through that I noted down. Is it like man's relationship with God? Because obviously William Dafoe, it's a big beard. He looks a bit like Moses, doesn't he? And actually Charlie Manson, Charlton Heston in Ten Commandments. He's got that kind of look about him. Is he the sea himself? You know, that's driving, maybe Robert Pattinson's just on a boat and it's the sea that's driving him mad and he's just wishing for land or something like that. And in fact, like, you know, putting all the coals and stuff in, is he working a steamboat? I don't know, like little things like that. I was just thinking, you know, what is it? What's actually happening here? In theory, yes, it's just a pressure cooker situation between two people, but I like the imagery of the sea as a seductress, of death being seducing itself. That's what I think is quite key here. And yeah, it could be that it's the fact that murder and sex and pleasure, the fact that it's all kind of getting mixed up is maybe him dealing with the fact that he enjoyed killing this guy and that he's been kind of seduced by it even further. Yeah, so it's all very interesting. So yeah, anyway, that's it. I'll be interested to hear what you guys think about it. You can email us at newwinterpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter and Instagram at A New Winter. And yeah, sorry if I've babbled on a bit here. It's been kind of a stream of consciousness because I only just watched it. So it's just been running through my head and I needed to get this all out. I might update it maybe with some more thoughts and comments because there's going to be the release soon where there might be like a director's commentary or something like that. And I'd be really interested to hear more about what this could be or what people's interpretations of it might be. So yeah, thank you very much for listening and see you on the next one.
A New Winter Culture.